I probably knew it when we spoke back then, but I hadn't said it to any players, and we were just heading into the Munster campaign, so it would have been unfair to make Munster's campaign about me, and I really didn't want to. So yeah, I kept it quiet, even though it was probably hard keeping it quiet for that last game in particular, but I was telling everyone after the game.
Yeah, so where did the decision, you know, when did that seat get sewn for retirement? How long have you been thinking about it?
Probably in the last 6 months I was thinking that I try and get into the squad for the World Cup first and foremost, and try and enjoy my time out there, and try and make it that I potentially could retire. I've been playing for 13 years and it's a long, long time, and I suppose you always have goals as a player, and I definitely wanted to make that third World Cup, and I was delighted then when I came back and we were allowed to play with Munster. Some players weren't released just with game time and that, and I really, really wanted to play with Munster one last time because we had been beaten last year's Interpros, and then I felt that things kind of fell into place nicely, that I made the World Cup squad, I went there, we finished fourth, we actually had a great World Cup, and then I was able to come back, play for Munster, captain Munster, and win the Interpros again, and I figure, do you know what, I'll go while I can, while it's good.
Going out in a high, because that's the way I think anybody, after such a long career, that's the way you want it to end.
Definitely. I mean, you look at so many players who are forced out with injury, and I feel very fortunate that I've managed to play for so long without ever needing surgery. I've broken the odd bone and that kind of thing, but never needed surgery, so I was delighted to be able to go on my own terms, and definitely, as you say, go out on a high. It's constant ups and downs, it's mentally very challenging, and coming off the back of this, it's been a high, so now is a good time.
Yeah, when we met about a month ago, Heather O'Brien was there too, and the jokes are past that you were the out one, even though you're younger than Heather.
Yes.
But it's because of such a long career, and as you say, the commitment that it's taken up, it's taken over your life for the last 13 years, I'm sure.
Yeah, that's it. I mean, age-wise, I'm not the old one.
No,
but
you're not.
In rugby terms, 13 years is a long time.
Yeah.
I was very fortunate. I started playing when I was 16 and joined Munster at 17 and joined the Irish squad at 18, and that's very unusual. For players, a lot of players just go to college and they pick it up there. Some players come out of a different sport, they pick it up at 27, 28, so I'm very, very fortunate that I started in a different frame, and although I'm just 29 and younger than Heather, I'm ready to go now.
Take us back, so, to the very start, and for people who, I know you've been on the bench before and you've talked about your rugby career, but at the very start in your introduction to rugby, because they say, as you say, at that stage it probably was unusual for younger girls to be getting into rugby so young.
Yeah, I was the youngest member of the squad for my club, for Clonakilty, for a good while. I was the youngest member of the Munster squad for a good while, and then I was definitely the youngest in Ireland for maybe 3-4 seasons, and then people like Amy Davis came in, and Amy's a bit younger than I am, and it was just unusual to have someone so young, and even someone so young playing front row at the time was quite unusual. It generally was people mid-20s, late-20s, maybe even early-30s that were playing and populating the Munster and Irish squad at that time. Now things have really flipped on its head, and you've got someone like Ashley Baxter, who's 20, you know, who's played international sevens at a World Cup, played international 15s at a World Cup. He's a fantastic player, and there's players just coming up through the ranks that are now really, really young as well. But definitely when I started, I was the odd one out, if you like.
I'm sure, so many highs and lows over such a long career at club, provincial and international level. Let's talk about some of them. Maybe first of all at club level, where it all starts, some of your highs.
I was again very fortunate, I suppose. I came into a Clan team that was on the way up, really, and we managed to win an All-Ireland Division 2 league in my very first season, and the following year we won an All-Ireland Division 1 cup. And I think that win was incredible. We played in Ashburn. You still remember everything about it because it was so special. And like, we played a Cook side who had 5 internationals at the time, including the Irish captain. And there were we, nobodies, who came up and just spoiled the party. And it was brilliant. Absolutely fantastic. That was definitely one of the great, great days.
And obviously with the Munster career, you know, 10 provincial titles over 13 seasons, where do you begin to find a highlight among all that?
Yeah, like I actually didn't realise it was going to be 10. It was only when we got the cup that I started counting. and I went back and I went through it. And, you know, the losses probably stand out more than the highs, which is, I suppose, the nature if you're so competitive. But I think this particular Interpro was probably the hardest earned. We were complete and utter underdogs heading into the Interpros. I would have said Connacht were the form team. I was delighted we weren't going to play Connacht until the last game, because I figured we'd need two games to kind of get ready for them, and that's with respect to Ulster and Leinster. But I felt like it was Connacht's Interpro to lose, and thankfully we made sure that they couldn't win it. It was great.
Yeah, tell me then, at the international level.
Yeah, I suppose you'd always enjoy things like your first cap, but I suppose the highs, I suppose, would have to be that victory over New Zealand.
Yeah.
The Grand Slam win, I think that season, just things were different for us. Definitely the New Zealand match, I think, is probably the ultimate high, in that it was the first time that I've ever been in a squad where we've all been in squads where you say we're going to win, and you feel that there's people in the room that don't really believe it, and you all say it, and we've said it for years, or we had said it for years playing against England, we're going to beat them today, and you can just tell that we don't really truly believe it. But the New Zealand win was unusual, in that we all said from the start we were going to win. Nobody panicked. Everybody knew we would win. Everybody internally, I should say, knew we were going to win. And even at 65 minutes on the clock and being 10 points down or whatever it was, people still knew we were going to win. The belief was indescribable, and it just was the first time that I've been in a squad where we just knew, and it was a shock to the world, but it was not a shock to us.
Yeah,
which was incredible.
That belief is so powerful in sport, but from this squad it seems to be just huge.
Yeah, I suppose you've got a lot of people there who are very, very positive people, and an awful lot of very, very competitive people. And I suppose when you throw all them kind of people together, they just don't like losing, and they don't like backing down, and it's going to be a fight to the last no matter what.
On a personal level, maybe it'll take a couple of years for you to find this out, but a couple of weeks out now from announcing your retirement, one particular game or one particular performance for you that you feel like will be the one you'll always remember as your best, or you'll remember for all the right reasons?
Very hard. God, very hard at this stage anyway to answer that one. I think back to even what I said earlier about Munster, I think you remember the losses more so, and those ones stick out like things that need to be corrected.
In that case, so the lows from your career, what will be the one thing you'll always think, God, that day was just the lowest of the low?
I think there was 2 days with Munster that were the lowest of the low. One was 3 years ago in Highfield, and we played in the Interpro final against Leinster, and we'd been playing into a strong wind, and we went in 9-6 down, I think it was. And we were just after getting the yellow card just before half time, and the floodgates sort of opened in the second half, and we crumbled. And it was the most frustrating performance ever, because 1-22 we just collapsed, and we didn't even play in the second half, and we ended up being beaten something like 25-6 or something like that, and it was distraught. It was horrible. It was a real disappointing day, and I think that one really sticks out. And last year's loss in Thomond Park to Leinster as well,
yeah,
was similar, in that the weather conditions were the most horrific they'd been in a long time. And we had fought quite hard for the first half, but we were really only trying to cling on to Leinster. Leinster were better than us that day. And again, we had got a yellow card in the first half. It didn't really affect us. If anything, we finished stronger. We stopped them scoring a try from a pushover scrum, even though we were down to 7 in the scrum. And then we just came out in the second half and we got blown away by Leinster, and that one was incredibly disappointing. I personally felt that even my own game that day, I couldn't get going properly, and it just was probably the most disappointing day on a playing pitch.
How much do these things, you know, take over your life then out off the rugby field, when you talk about both the losing feeling like that and winning as well? You know, obviously, I think is it fair to say that the losing one is the one that affects you far more beyond the game,
yeah,
whereas the winning, maybe it's still lying in bed at night, you'll think more about the losing than the winning.
Yeah, I think so. Like the winning ones, you'd have a smile on your face for a couple of days that you just can't get rid of. But you wouldn't necessarily keep going back over it, whereas it's the ones you lose, you go back over them forever, and you know, some of them still haunt me. Like I even remember playing a club final with UL Bowes. And UL Bowes are probably the most successful women's team in the country, club-wise. And I joined UL Bowes in my final year in college. And myself and Joy Neville, the former Irish 8, joined the same year. And Joy and myself had never won a Division 1 league title. And Bose had won the last 9. And we lost in the league final. And we lost. It was 10 all at the end of full time, 20 all at the end of extra time. And we lost after drop kicks. And Joy and myself both took a drop kick that day. And that one was just soul destroying. And that one still haunts us. And you can't help but feel disappointed over them. You have no control over them now or anything, but I think the perfectionist in me means that I constantly think back to the ones that weren't.
I know, but I feel like we're going down a very negative road here. You've had such a long and successful career. You must walk away from it with the utmost of, you know, satisfaction. Is that a word for it?
100%. Recently, I dropped some of my jerseys and my Irish cap and my participation medals for the World Cup into a friend of mine to get framed. And I went down on Friday, actually, and paid for them and collected them and that kind of thing. And, I mean, you can't help but be proud when you see them. Yeah. I suppose we have gone down a negative train of conversation. But, no, you have to sit back and be very grateful and for what we've done. And I certainly am very proud of it. I know I've two lovely nephews who are very, very proud of it. Every time they watch rugby on TV, they ask, am I playing and do I play there? And I think that's just brilliant. And, you know, I feel very, very fortunate and don't have anything bad to say about the game. And I suppose that was another reason why I decided now was a good time. You can absolutely love the game. And that's what we all do when we're at our highest point. And then at your lowest point, you can probably hate the game and begin to resent the game.
And get frustrations.
And frustrations and disappointments. And I wanted to, having spent all the years working so hard, sacrificing everything, I wanted to leave when I still absolutely love the game. And I do. I mean, even sitting watching Munster Leinster last night, you just love Munster beating Leinster. It's nothing better.
Special. And Laura, who do you consider the greatest influence on your career?
I've said several times already that the coach we had in Clonakilty, the first coach we had, was a massive, massive influence. He's a man named Richie Draper, and he was just fantastic. I mean, he just set standards that, I don't know, in any other sport I had never seen before. Like, he just demanded 100% commitment, 100% professionalism out of us, and that was club players. And I just thought, this guy, you know, he's got it right. And we all went on the pitch, you know, willing to do anything for each other and for him. And, you know, it just set me in good stead for going forward.
And on the field of play, having played with so many different people, because obviously you had a couple of different clubs, you know, the Munster and at Irish level as well. On the field of play, who would you consider big influences?
I think Fiona Coughlan is a fantastic leader. I've always said it. She's an excellent captain. Fiona is an excellent rugby player. She's an excellent organiser. I think she's somebody who you look up to just because of that leadership quality. I mean, to be captain of Ireland for so long was incredible. And then I suppose you've got the likes of Joy Neville, who just was supremely talented. Joy's skill level was higher than anybody else's. Her desire to always win was incredible. And I think Joy was probably the best rugby player of her time. And then, like, people coming forward, you've got the likes of Ashley Baxter, who she's just incredible as well. Like, Ashley is a young person. She's 20, and she's the most grounded young person I've ever seen. She doesn't even think she's that good, and she is world class. And I just think that's brilliant to see.
And that's something that should rub off on the people around her too, and you know, develop the whole scene. We would have talked about this as well a month ago as we spoke about the future of Irish rugby, but maybe in general, the development of women's rugby and in this country and the future of it, it's in a very good place, Laura.
Yeah, it is. You've looked like the likes of Amanda Greensmith in the Munster branch, who's doing some great work there. And, you know, only Friday there she rang me about there's a club starting up in a couple of weeks' time, and they're looking to get people up. Just to kind of help out on that first day and to kind of get people around. And I think Highfield, my own previous club at this stage, are playing their first league game today in Galwegians, and they're both fielding a second team for a second game afterwards. So I think that's great. I mean, Highfield have always had good numbers, but it's great to see the likes of Galwegians having a second team now as well. And people are really making a good effort to get women's rugby off the ground. Certainly where I work in Middleton, the club have been trying, and they've got a girls team back going, and one of my first games was even in fact against Middleton. They had a senior team that was doing really well at the time, and then I suppose the natural thing with women, there was a few pregnancies, a few people retired after getting married and having, and then decided to have children, and the club fell away. And it's great to see that they're now getting going again. I think it's always a challenge for teams that aren't in a city to kind of get moving, but it's brilliant that people are now making an effort and that it's going somewhere.
Now, we spoke the last time as well about your involvement in the school, the boys' rugby team there. So are we going to see a lot of Laura Guest on sidelines in the future? Is that going to be the next rugby angle?
I think so. I suppose I'm very lucky. I coach the senior team, as I said before, with a teacher called Ray Power, and I was put forward by the school towards coaching courses, and I'm actually a stage 4 head coach, which I think there's just 3 females in the country as a stage 4 head coach. So I think that's my route if I'm going to go anywhere. One of my friends keeps saying you'll do some refereeing, and I keep saying why would I do some refereeing?
You can't see that.
No. I only referee in school when our referee doesn't
really
turn up.
You really have to, yeah.
When our referee doesn't turn up. But no, I really enjoy the coaching, and the boys' team in school are brilliant to work with. They're like sponges. They want information, and they want to improve. And I suppose we're heading into a cup week this week. We have the first round of our cup against Villiers School on Wednesday. But it'll bring its own challenge.
And that's obviously at school's level at the moment, but would you aspire to maybe go to club level and beyond?
Yeah, I spent a season as player coach in Highfield, and that was a very challenging season, and it was a season that I learned a lot in. And just I felt when I was retiring that for now school is plenty for this year, but definitely I want to move up the ranks. I want to coach. I don't really know whether it's men's or women's game yet and to what level, but that definitely will be my future of staying in the game.
Good stuff. And playing sport otherwise then, I can't imagine such a competitive player can go from all that to nothing.
Yeah.
A bit of golf, is it?
Hopefully. My shoulder has still been at me since early August, so I haven't picked up a club in a while, but definitely I'd like to get back to the golf. I kind of feel like I surely would a bit of work could make inroads on my handicap.
What are you playing off?
I got to 16 with minimal effort, I suppose.
Not bad.
So I don't know. I'd like to play a lot more golf, but I think I'll just bide my time a little bit. But I'm going to have to pick up something else as well. But I suppose the challenge for me is that I'm so competitive that I'll have to pick something up for fun.
For focus, yeah, absolutely. Well, look, the very best of luck in your retirement, in your future, be it in rugby, golf, or whatever you do put your mind to. Thanks for everything, and thanks for coming into the bench so often and sharing your experiences with us.
No problem. Thanks so much for having me.